As we continue in worship, we have the opportunity to read upon God's word. This morning, we're going to be reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. The words can be found on the screen above if you would like to follow along. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have died. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself, with the cry of command, with the archangel's call, and with the sound of God's trumpet, will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up in the clouds together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. It says, therefore, encourage one another with these words. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we do indeed give you thanks for this time together, for this community of faith joined in this place to hear a word from you, to sing praises to you, to receive and to celebrate this gift of Holy Communion together, to know that we're not alone on this journey. So, Lord, for those things, we give you thanks. God, I ask you this day to speak through me and in spite of me that your word might be proclaimed and we might hear with joy what you say to us today. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen. Now, last week we celebrated All Saints' Day. We had a time together. We lit candles in remembrance of those who had passed away, the saints of our church. And I shared that this altar cloth, each leaf represents a saint of our church who has passed and who made an impact and who leaves something behind. Death is said to be the greatest equalizer, irrespective of vocation or wealth or social status or class or creed. Death comes to all of us at some point. Someone said the mortality rate's hovering around somewhere around 100%. All of us grieve at some time in our lives, and hopefully all of us will be grieved by someone, that we've made an impact so great that people miss us. You know, it would be sad indeed if no one should care about our passing. 1 Thessalonians, the book that I just read, was one of the first books of the New Testament to be written. It represents the faith of some of the earliest Christians. They had a strong belief in the imminent return of Christ. And they believed that Christ would come back before they had passed, but they're still alive, even though some who had passed away already. And so Paul's responding to the group in which some Christians had already died, and those others were concerned. How would they, these faithful dead, how would they see them again? Would those who had passed away also share in the glory of the resurrected Jesus at his coming? And through the conflicting answers, there was confusion and worry among the people. And so the Apostle Paul had and was responding to the issue. He answers. His answer recognizes that the return of Christ is a very deep theological issue, which is crucial. Because it involves destiny. He was calling the believers to really test what they hear before they believe it to be true. There was much in the world and in the church that was good to the ear, but not necessarily good news. The Greeks and the Egyptians believed that the soul went on to some sort of afterlife. Even the Jews believed, and resurrection at the end of time. So for Christians to say there is something on the other side of death was not some off-the-wall thought, but for Christians, there was more. For Christians, believers in Jesus, we know the other side of the curtain, and for us, there's hope, even in the midst of grief. And so Paul says, so that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope, for we have hope. Paul never suggests that faith exempts us from grief, but as we grieve, we have hope. You know, we never need to apologize for our feelings or the expression of those feelings, even as Jesus understood grief. He joined when his friend Lazarus died. He was with his sisters, and Jesus grieved with them. Jesus wept with them. And so we never need to apologize for the grief that we experience, the grief that we have. Paul does not minimize the hurt of losing loved ones. But Paul was assuring the people of Thessalonica that Christians grieve with hope and faith in Christ, who gives us victory. This gives us joy and confidence and a steadfastness to walk through life, to continue to show up in the midst of hurt and fear and disappointment. Grieving with hope means trusting in the larger epic that's unfolding in front of us, that we receive from Christ. You know, a Christian who dies is like a person who falls asleep and then awakens with Christ. It says, so whether we are alive or dead, we are with Christ. And Paul refines the point in Romans, and he says that none of us live to himself or herself. And none of us dies to himself or herself. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we are living or whether we die, we are the Lord's. He goes on to say that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. So whether a man is alive here or now or sleeps in the grave, we shall be with the Lord's forever. That's what it means to have assurance in the here and now and the victory in death. That's the word that Paul was sharing with the people of Thessalonica, and that's the word for us even today. That nothing can separate us from the love of God. That God knows us, he loves us, he's with us, he'll never desert us. And that's something that we might rejoice in, that we might trust in, that we might be joyful in believing. And as we understand that love that God has for us, that we experience through Christ's death and resurrection, that we might live in that hope today. As people of God, we know our call is to walk with those in need. We know that our call is to help those who are weak, that we might seek to do good and to love one another, that we might rejoice always, pray constantly, and give thanks in all circumstances, that we might follow the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's call upon our life. Over about 50 years ago, there was a gentleman named Granger Westberg who wrote a little book called Good Grief. I feel like we hear that all the time around my house, like, good grief, Levi, quit doing that. But this book is more about the deep grief that people feel and how to use that grief for the good. So the author of this book, Granger Westberg, said that there's contended that that grief can be good when four things come out of it. The first thing he says is grief is good when we come out of our grief to experience a slightly higher level of maturity than before. Second, he says, grief is good when we come out of our grief as deeper persons because we have been down in the depths of despair and know what it is like. Third, he says, grief is good when we come out of it stronger, for we have had to learn how to use our spiritual muscles to climb the rugged mountain trails. And fourth, he says that grief is good when we come out of it better able to help others. We've walked through the valley of the shadow of grief, and we can understand. I think these things represent what it means to grieve with hope. To grieve knowing that there's more and can be more out of our grief. Some of our church family has recently been through grief of the experience of a loved one. We represented that last week through All Saints. There were others in our church that had lost folks in their life that we didn't name out loud, but who came forward and lit a candle. Others have experienced grief in other ways in our life, loss of job or moving, loss of income. No one is saying and should ever say, do not grieve. But as Christians, we say, do not grieve as those who have no hope. Trust in God's love for you. Lean on his everlasting arms. You know, I was thinking to myself, I wonder how many nonprofits that are created. There's so many nonprofits out there nowadays, like if you Google it, there's nonprofits galore. There's so many avenues looking that are great, and many of them are really great. But I wonder how many nonprofits were started because someone went through a time in their life, and out of that experience, whatever it was, began something that would help themselves and others. Whether that's, you know, Live Strong with Lance Armstrong and his battle with cancer and all the money that he has raised in helping cancer patients and families. Or I was thinking of a couple examples from my time there in Harlingen. Jeff and Judy Peters went through a situation where in seventh grade, their seventh grader was diagnosed with a type of cancer, and so over 6 years they had, or 5 years or 4 years, they had so many different trips back and forth to MD Anderson and all kinds of different trials with their son. He eventually passed away as a junior in high school, and out of their experience they grieved with hope that they could do something to help other families who are experiencing childhood cancer. And so they started Team Walker Pete. And Team Walker Pete's whole mission is to help families who are dealing with childhood cancer. And they have bags that they fill with things that they thought was needed as they went to the hospital back and forth. And they fill those up and they help families with different things that they need as they go through cancer, childhood cancer with their child. Or there's this other family that I know who, Cirillo and Jeanette Garza, who started Andrew's Journey. Andrew's Journey was started after this family's seventh grader was found, had committed suicide after experiencing bullying at school. And so this organization, Andrew's Journey, was created, and its whole mission is about anti-bullying and to educate families about anti-bullying so that hopefully no other family has to experience what they went through. Two great nonprofits that I think, when I think of this scripture that it says, do not grieve as others who have no hope, these families, out of their belief and trust in God, have created avenues to provide hope for the future, even in the midst of their grieving. Friends, that's the good news that we find in the scripture for today. That as we grieve the world around us, as we grieve even personally, may we grieve as those who know that God is with us. May we grieve as those who have hope for the future. May we grieve as those who desire to change the world. May we grieve as those who know the gift of eternal life. Let us pray. Gracious God, we do indeed give you thanks for this time together. We thank you for the peace that passes all understanding that we experience in your grace. We give you thanks for that you walk with us in our life and give us this gift of eternal life, that we might have hope for today, and we might have a desire for all to know the love that is to come. So God, guide us and direct us as a church. God, if we know of someone, who's experiencing grief, may we be people who respond with compassion and love. May we be share in the hope that we find in you. God, we love you and we thank you for this time. We thank you for this church. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen.